Hello and welcome to yet another very, very special episode of the Gestalten podcast. My name is Martin Groschwald and I'm going to be your host for today's recording. And I have a very, very special guest today. It's the third one that we invited to join us on our special episodes. And this person is probably very, very known to most of you. He's done quite a few things already. He has some very interesting kind of positions that he has held in the past. It's a designer being in charge of the Citroën GT Vision Gran Turismo car. He has also worked for Polyphony Digital for the Gran Turismo cars. And just very, very recently, he has released his David Bowie tribute car in Paris at the concourse, which was just happened a few weeks ago. Very, very warm welcome to Takumi Yamamoto. Takumi, welcome, and thank you very much for taking the time to do this little recording with us.
Thank you very much for having me here.
Lovely. So, give us a little bit of an intro about yourself. You are currently are you currently in Paris? Or are you currently in Japan, or where are you currently stationed?
Okay, so I'm in still Paris. So since I quit, you know, PSA Citroën, and I joined the Polyphony, as you said. Then 2 years ago, 2017, I started up my own company called Takumi Yamamoto, based in Paris still,
Fantastic. So what we want to do today, we had, a few weeks ago, we had Carlos Salaf on the show and we talked about, him, doing a car for Pebble Beach. But with you, we obviously want to talk about the David Bowie tribute, but we also want to talk about the idea of doing cars purely digital or only for digital purposes. But let's start with the David Bowie tribute, because it's the most recent one. It's obviously something that is that gained quite a lot of traction in the media as well. And I would obviously assume that it has something to do with the music and, was inspired by David Bowie. But tell us a little bit more about how this whole project came about and, when that started, actually.
So, it's going to be quite a long story, but I'll do my best to be brief. When I was very little, probably nine, when I fell in love with Bowie, I watched Let's Dance or something on TV. And I don't know, when I like it so much, I tend to want to do something with it. So since I fell in love with him, I wanted to collaborate with him, but I was a musician. I never played any music instrument, so I was wondering how. And when I was like the age of 20, 24, I came up with the idea to collaborate with him, with my talent, which is designing cars. So I said to myself, hey, I don't need to be a musician, just, do a car for him. So it was 20 years ago when I came up with the idea.
So it was a 20-year process for you then to develop this whole idea. So where did the inspiration for you come from Bowie? Was it about, you just mentioned the music, but was it also about his style? Because he transformed himself quite a lot during his career. How did you get to the car where it is now during those, let's say, 20 years that you've been working on this?
To be honest, I it doesn't mean I've been thinking of it like 100% for the last 20 years, it was from time to time. But first of all, I wanted to do it with him, when he was alive. But then, when I decided to start my own company, the first thing which I attacked was this project. So I was preparing presentation and 3 weeks later, he it's gone. So I had to change my plan. So instead of doing it with him, I decided to do it for him as a homage. And of course, I was, oh, it's been pretty much everything, his looks, his the way of thinking, his songs, all inspired me. So I wanted to put all elements in my tribute.
Mm-hmm. And how, I mean, you know, obviously we're not just talking about a digital model or like, you know, a few sketches here. I mean, you did you 3D printed the entire car. Is that right? Yeah. So how did that come about? I mean, was that, you know, similar to what Carlos did where he put most of his own money in there, or did you have any kind of partners that were, you know, absolutely fascinated by this idea? Or how did this actually from an idea from, you know, from a sketch, like from a 3D model, how did this become a reality? How did this become a full-size model?
So when I start, my goal was to present full-size model. But when I started, I was alone with any budget. So I decided to do it by myself as far as I can, you know, go by myself. Mm. So first time in my life, I achieved to do alias modeling by myself, like a really rough sketch. But to go further, I couldn't do anything by myself. So I contacted the first person. And I thought he will laugh about it, you know. But no, he really loved it. So he was the first person who I contacted, but he said, yes, I'll finance it right away. But unfortunately, he got some reasons, so he pulled out from the project. But the good news is he put a CEO modeler for this project who stayed with me. Even, you know, that person left the project, my career.
And then what?
First step was him, who unfortunately pulled out from the project. But Cyril Anseli stayed with the project, so I could. He stayed with me as a volunteer, so you know I couldn't pay him. So yeah, he stayed here. We did it for, you know, as a after five projects. Then we finally finished the 3D model. So we started to contact people. But we set ourselves, you know, to sell the project, we could do like 60 images to pass with people. So Cyril found a guy called Alex Lanak, and he's really good CGI artist. And we gave our CEO model to him, and you know, he in turn did beautiful images. Then the project started to get attention of people. Long story. Then the image has been seen by Marie Troide. They are like specialized in creating concept and who uses a lot of 3D printing. So he said yes to sponsoring one-third of the budget. Another one-third was taken by the producer. Of the 3D printer, big size 3D printer, Massibit 3D. And the one third is by myself. So,
Financed
by, one third, I couldn't take care of the whole, but one third I could.
Yeah. And so how was that feeling for you when you first saw the 3D, you know, the first 3D parts coming together and, you know, standing in this kind of full size, you know, in front of this kind of full size car nowadays? Like, how was that after all this time, obviously, like, you know, not working on it full time, but after all these years and now seeing something like that, how did that feel?
It's the best moment of the creation, isn't it? Like, you know, the moment of a dream coming, you know, come true. So in front of my, you know, eyes, things, you know, coming, mm-hmm. you know, just like a giving birth to my idea. So I was just witnessing just, you know, how, you know, yeah, it was pretty amazing.
I can imagine. And I mean, how did it work out that you were able to present it in Paris? I mean, you know, this was a concept car show where usually, like, you know, it's a very kind of selective. It's almost like Pebble Beach in that sense as well. So
yeah, it was kind of egg first or chicken first, but actually, I think it was before we found Marie 3D, Marie 3D, so the fabricator of mm-hmm. the concept car, joined us. We've been contacted by them, Festival Automobile International. They saw our images and some article on the magazine. And they were really enthusiastic mm-hmm. about our project, and they offered us a place to present. So we were kind of like maybe the first individual who presented the full size model there, and then we probably were the first one to be invited to do that.
Yeah. And what did your design colleagues say about it? Because obviously, like, you know, this is a place where you can see, you know, Maybachs, where you can see, like, you know, the Peugeot e-Legend, like those kind of cars that had and obviously your old colleagues from PSA anyways, but how did they react to that kind of car? Because it's so different to anything else.
Yeah, it's like when I did the GT, you know, mm-hmm. I wasn't sure about people's reaction, but let's say I didn't really care because I've done what I believed and I put everything I had. But the people's reaction was pretty well. And at this time as well, I was like, first of all, you know, I thought people will laugh about it, you know, expressing David Bowie as a car. And like, so I thought people won't get it, but most of people got it, you know, immediately. And of course, some people don't get it, but most of people got it and they kind of really fell in love with it.
Mm.
Yeah.
So what's the next step for you then? Of course, you know, you have your own design consultancy. I know you're doing all different kinds of stuff. So is this going to be taken any further? Will there be, like, you know, a Bowie car number two, or what is the plan?
So. This project is like, you know, the sunflower for mm-hmm. Van Gogh. You know, he repeated the same mm-hmm. subject for a long time. And I think that Debbie Bowie is like mm-hmm. that for me. So the first one was done. But there are so many ideas I couldn't put this time, so yeah, if time and everything allows, I love to continue doing this. And at the same time, the main purpose of I started up my company is to build a one of cars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not mass production, but one, keep creating one of cars. So yeah, so this project will be, you know,
It will stay a one-off in that kind of sense, you will say, like.
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
I mean, from what I find fascinating about this, because, like, you know, if you, you know, we will put the links in the show notes and stuff like that as well. But if you compare the David Bowie card to all the other cards that were there, it was actually something that had this, you know, let's say a more Parisian, you know, artist touch in there, whereas the other ones were still fundamentally cars. You know, how do you see nowadays, you know, the, let's say, the art or the craft of car design? I mean, you know, you mentioned, you know, your company was made for doing one-off cars. Do you actually still see the car design as an art, or do you see car design as, you know, as a styling tool nowadays? Because yours is just kind of, you know, yeah, it's something on wheels, but in the end, this is really a piece of art, what you did over there, you know. And how do you see it developing? Because there must be a reason why you're not going back into the normal car industry.
Yeah, so, you know, it's always like that. The mainstream goes to, like, follow the function. I mean, and the mainstream goes to, like, a practical, you know, so styling or mass production design way, right? How to say that? My English.
Yeah, that's fine. So, like, yeah, it's obviously, like, you know, the more cars you want to produce, let's say, the more difficult it will be to make them rather.
Yeah. So. Obviously, what I'm doing is different from what automotive brands are doing, and that's one of the reasons I quit industry. I changed the industry, and I went to game industry, and I tried to start something. Then message from the other side, but still as a car designer. Change the field, and now I'm doing the same thing with my own company, and both are fine. It's not like a wrong or right. They do their car design, and I do my car design, and but I'm taking the advantage of, you know, this agility. How do you say that? Does it exist?
Agility. Yeah.
Agility. To do, like, a piece of artwork. Of course, it's not mass, but I can feel, you know, that when the majority goes to mass production thing, there is always, how do you call it, kickback, or, you know, mind. How do you call that? How do you say that in English?
Well, I think, you know, it really comes down, I mean, I think, I'm not quite sure if you've just recently seen the Honda pictures for this kind of e-prototype, which is the... And I think this is what it comes down to, you know, it's this kind of playfulness that was so great on the concept to kind of get that into the mass production and make it actually feasible, make it actually, you know, mass producible. Is oftentimes the problem, you know, because if you are a company such as Honda, also as PSA, I mean, you know, I think the E-Legend is another good example for that, to get this kind of simplicity retro style exactly into production is always the problem, isn't it? Like, you know.
It's our job, isn't it? So there is no constraint, it's just a nod, but we deal with it. That's what our job. So it's a part of the game. So, yeah. I don't, you know, blame for that. I don't find it as a problem. It's more like where we show our ability, isn't it? So, with our experience, we can, you know, nail something which looks still great, even in the production. That's our skill, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, well, what I'm doing is probably different from what they're doing. It's more like a message, strong message. It's not about if it will sell well, but it's more like a message to the next generation.
Yeah. Yeah. So speaking about the next generation, also the next generation of car designers, I mean, for me, you know, the kind of the first touch I've always had with cars came through video games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think for a lot of younger car designers nowadays, in particular, the idea of a digital model, or like, you know, a digital kind of accessibility to the idea of car design is becoming more and more normal. Yeah. If you look into Gran Turismo in particular, what you can do with, you know, looking at the models, opening doors, you can take pictures and everything, you know, it gives you a new access to the medium, and like, you know, to the idea of car design, of course. Mm-hmm. So you've made this very, very interesting move away from PSA, and you moved over to the guys that are, you know, developing Gran Turismo, which is Polyphony Digital. Mm-hmm. So how was that for you? I mean, from everything that we hear, those guys over there in Japan, they're absolutely petrol heads as well. They love cars as well. But to get a car company to, or like, you know, like a gaming company to become so influential in car design nowadays, mm-hmm. I mean, everybody wants to, you know, wants to have their own Gran Turismo, or like, you know, Vision Gran Turismo mm-hmm. car. How did that happen? Because that is something, you know, we had never seen before.
So yeah, for me it was kind of obvious because we were using, you know, the 3D viewer with the CAD model and, you know, mm-hmm. to review our design before we go to, you know, gray model. Even we do gray model, we still present our design, you know, CAD model, using, you know, these softwares. And on the other hand, I was like seeing my friend doing these beautiful video games with a, you know, almost like a perfect, you know, quality, which moves on time. And for me, it was kind of like an obvious thing. That obvious flaw that, you know, there is no way to miss such opportunity. You know, we got the same element inside of our design studio, and then why don't we share that with the world? And, you know, the first motor show started in Paris in 1898, if I remember right. Mm-hmm. And I said to my boss, like, listen, look, we get to change the way we do probably new design, but we still using the same way of presenting our cars, you know, which is like a motor show. Mm-hmm. Invite the people, like, let them pay, and if they even they come, it's crowded, you cannot touch, you cannot probably, of course, you cannot drive. And, you know, the 1 month after the show, or and the 1 month before the show, that's pretty mm-hmm. much about what we, you know, the period we talk about these new cars, but after that we forget about it. And these showcases, we spend millions, goes to, probably it doesn't go to BIM, but it go to, you know, a garage, and then we never see mm-hmm. it again. But if we use, if we change the way of the presentation, if we get connected to, you know, these video games, we can put, first of all, the people doesn't need to even come to the show.
Mm-hmm.
And people can see it clearly. And people can drive it, and they can even own it. And the only thing they got to do is to have a PlayStation 4 or 3 at the time. And like, look, you know, for me it was obvious. And yeah, then on top, you know, if users love the car, they can use it for forever. It's like a long tail phenomenon which happened with Amazon, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as they love it, they can, you know, drive it for a long time. I don't see mm-hmm. I don't say forever, because yeah. So yeah, that was the idea. That's how I convinced Citroën. Yeah, how it happened.
Yeah, and then you obviously changed side. So you moved over, from the car manufacturer to Polyphony, and then what happened? Because that was, I think, exactly at the time when, you know, this kind of movement of, you know, Vision Gran Turismo cars was just a, you know, just starting slowly. Mm-hmm. And obviously now it's kind of, it's almost like, you know, your knighthood, if you're allowed to do something like that. Everybody wants to do it, but it almost becomes like a really important factor in also the communication strategy of companies. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, look, we have, like, you know, Gran Turismo cars. How did that happen? Because, you know, that's the first in video games, I would say.
So, you know, so when I did ZT by Citroën, it was a massive success. You know, for the first time in their history, they had to, like, limit the person who wants to go into our showroom because the ZT was presented. And it was, I don't remember the number exactly, but it was like the most successful show car ever. Mm-hmm. In terms of exposure and media exposure.
Yeah.
So I started to see the potential, and I said to myself, this shouldn't be just for a company. It should be open to everyone, all car manufacturers. So I was still with Citroën, but I started to propose Polyphony that they should do it with everyone, all car manufacturers. So I kind of wanted to prepare the presentation and sold the idea to them. And instead of them buying the idea, they employed me. So that was kind of, the beginning, and the things evolved, and I was involved in other projects, so I wasn't really, I couldn't really follow the project, but I think that became, Vision Gran Turismo projects.
That's incredible. I mean, you know, how would you say, like, you know, with this project in particular, I mean, you know, we've seen, you know, someone like Tata doing a car for Forza Motorsport as well. Like, you know, we've seen that definitely kick off. If you look from your outside position now, especially for one-offs, I mean, you know, you can use Assetto Corsa, like, you know, model your car and pretty much bring it into the game, and everybody can do that with that sense. How do you see, you know, and we were talking about this in a little bit of preparation to this recording. We now have this kind of crypto motors company, team, whatever you want to call it, here in Munich, which is a purely digital car that you can buy, which is exactly for that reason, where you can say, like, oh, I'm going to let going to get this car built, or I'm going to just have it in a video game and stuff like that. How do you see this kind of interaction of an easy access, also a cheap kind of opportunity to get your own car, and also this kind of coach building one-offs that you're doing at the moment, you know, help course you, because you know you could technically say, like, look, this is your car in a video game right away, just to show it to someone that they want to see it. But how do you also think it might help the car industry to use those kind of tools nowadays to maybe attract new people, or, like, you know, new potential car designers?
It's a quite broad and deep question. So, of course, it will really lower the wall for the users to join or get the feeling of designing car. And join the creative side of car design. That's for sure, for users. And for manufacturers, probably, of course, for what I propose, it's like the way to, you know, it was a new medium to send mm-hmm. our message, which was a magazine or TV or motor shows. And now I propose the video game. And yeah, so it was my basic original idea is to
that's fine. So then let me rephrase that a little bit, you know, go into a different kind of direction. Mm-hmm. We see the video games, we see, you know, much more kind of virtual reality mm-hmm. taking mm-hmm. over, of course, of the car industry, also with the consumers nowadays. Mm-hmm. What is the next step for you? Where do you see car design, transportation design going in the next few years? What is your personal kind of vision of transportation?
That's a deep question. And of course, obviously, the main issue we're facing now is autonomous vehicle. Mm-hmm. And the autonomous vehicle will give us much more freedom to, you know, so for instance, you don't need to do anything. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, you can wear your VR glasses and, you know, change your car as you want. So it's like kind of avatar. Mm-hmm. You are sitting in a box, but you can feel like you are driving in a riding in your favorite supercar, hypercar, whatever you call, or maybe something he designed. Mm-hmm. So there is that possibility, you know, so there will be no clear border between virtual and real, which is happening everywhere, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the potential I see. And another way is, you know, you don't need to come to reality. You can stay in the virtual world. Of course, so I don't know what happened to the Second Life and stuff, but there can be a company which provides a car design for this world. Mm-hmm. Probably it exists, the company you mentioned, but that's another way.
Yeah. So you being Japanese, mm-hmm. living in Europe for quite a long time mm-hmm. already. time flies. Time flies. So understanding all these different kind of cultures, we currently have a very Asian influence in Europe, of course, with, you know, the Chinese manufacturers or the Chinese money coming in. Do you think that the world of design will change because of this kind of new Eastern influence, you know, because obviously it was very Western back in the day and, like, you know, still currently, but, you know, with all these companies such as Byte and Neo, Asian money coming in, do you think that, you know, this will push, for example, this idea of one-offs, or do you think it will push, you know, more competing with the Europeans, or do you think it will push it into a completely different kind of direction because they don't have this kind of heritage?
I think funny enough, as they don't get a heritage, it seems to me they tend to, I wouldn't say copy, but emulate. Mm-hmm. Eastern car design. So I was expecting something really, you know, out of box or something mm-hmm. really new, but they tend to follow existing car design language, I think. Am I answering your question?
So, like, let me ask you this, actually, like, you know, just to kind of put this, if you would be in the position of a Chinese, Japanese, uh-huh. an Eastern uh-huh. car manufacturer that comes uh-huh. in with this 1 billion, 2 billion. Yeah, and that's obviously you see what other companies have done before. Where would you tackle something different? What would be your kind of approach to this new idea apart from, you know, apart from just autonomy? Like, you know, what would make things differently? And you obviously you've seen both, you know, Eastern and Western world. So what, how would you develop it?
If I got that chance, I will like avoid doing what we've done. So I'll take a call. I cannot tell you right now what outcome will be, but I'll stop probably employing all method we used to use and to create something new if I got that much freedom. And how I will approach to that subject probably. And try to like if car industry started from that place, that country, that area, and probably I will start building the design team from that point.
And would you, because you know, you worked a lot on 3D now on the David Bowie car as well. You know, we have this big discussion, of course, in terms of 3D versus the physical modeling. Would you completely disregard physical modeling if you would do something like that? Would you become a, you know, a full 3D guy? Or how would be your workflow of the future, ideally?
I can already see my colleagues of car design friends space who really loves gray model, but myself, I believe that everything we can do in gray model, we can do in CAD model. It's just a matter of getting used to it, and probably I, of course, at certain point, we probably need a physical model, but for the development, I love to try without any,
any new
physical model and using more like a new technology, which can replace that experience.
Yeah. What is, what would be, if I would have to nail you down on one technology, what do you think is the most important technology for car development at the moment?
I mean, design.
You know, let's take car design also in terms of experience, for example. You know, because just the surface, you know, I think, let's say that could be an easy question, but like, you know, if you see car design as an overall experience, what would you think is the most important technology right now, or also, you know, the most important technology coming up fairly soon?
Well, UI, UX, it's all ordinary answer, but yeah, I think it's going to be more important, you know. Of course, we always inside and everything we see is always, you know, interior design. But autonomous vehicles, autonomous vehicle comes in and it will be more about how we're going to spend our time there. So yeah, UI, UX, augmented reality, AR, that kind of thing. Obviously, yeah, will be very, very important. Am I answering okay?
I mean, this is a tough question because, you know, with autonomy, with this kind of idea about experience, of course, you know, we're talking about stuff that is quite far away from car design per se, 5G technology and stuff. But, you know, I think it will become more and more present in everyday culture and in like the day-to-day development of the car. But obviously, yeah, I think at this moment in time, everything that, you know, circles around the experience is still the future. I think we will all have to define what experience is. You know, we will have to see how important the product becomes. Mm-hmm. I think, and you know, not just the brand or the experience per se. So there's still a lot of movement there, mm-hmm. and I do hope that, you know, your approach that, or like the approach that you have with, you know, doing one-off cars then inspires again, you know, maybe a digital world, maybe a manufacturer to bring those ideas into real life. I mean, you know, in mm-hmm. the end, if somebody would take your David Bowie car and it becomes an inspirational point for a car designer of any other car company, and you will see some hints and stuff like that mm-hmm. in a car in the future. I mean, I'm pretty sure you've achieved everything that you wanted, right? to inspire other colleagues.
Yeah, but so far, yeah, but yeah, I'd love to go further. So yeah, at this moment, I'm okay, but I got new ideas.
we're all looking very, very much forward to them. And do let us know, please, once you will release something new, because the David Bowie one was quite impressive. I do have to say, and as we do with so many other guys, you know, with the other guys that are in the kind of special episodes, I have three questions for you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Question number one, who was the most influential designer you have worked with?
Mm-hmm. Worked with, right? Yeah, worked with.
Yeah, worked with. So someone that you've, or someone, you know, that you were in touch with, but inspired you in a certain way.
In touch or no, personally, it's Chris Bongo, but the work with is Jean-Pierre Plouet. He's so
okay.
he can be, yeah, he's so, yeah, he let us be creative. If he are not, he'll be very difficult, but as long as we are creative, it's cool, and he defend for that, so I really respect him.
Yeah.
And I think we can see that from a product which is coming out from Peugeot and Citroën.
Yeah, it's they're getting on a good way now, one has to say. Question number two, mm-hmm. Which project, concept car, show car, digital car, whatever, that you did not work on would have been on your all-time favorite list to work on?
Gina? BMW mm-hmm. Gina, maybe?
Yeah. That came out very quickly. That's very nice. and last but not least, and then I'll let you go, if you would have any money available, what car would you buy?
Lamborghini Jota.
that was quick as well, maybe. So
I buy it for sure.
Yeah.
It's in the bucket list.
It is on the bucket list. So.
One day.
One day. I'll keep my fingers crossed for you, Takumi. Thank you very much for taking the time. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Obviously, if you want to get in touch with if Takumi, if you're interested about the work that he has done, go to his website, which is takumiyamamoto.com. Feel free to connect with him on LinkedIn or any kind of social media platform where you can find him. I'm pretty sure, you know, he's happy to be in touch with a lot of people. And also, if you are interested in working with him, you can reach him on his website as well. And so thank you very much, Takumi, for the time.
Thank you very much.
Appreciated. We will see each other very soon. And to all our listeners, thank you very much for this yet again another special episode of the Gestalten podcast. And you will be hearing from us very, very soon. And thanks for listening. Take care.